This has been the Rebirth Experience with Pastor Anthony, pastor of Rebirth Church. Continue the experience Sunday mornings at 10:30 with Pastor Anthony.
Praise the Lord, family. What's going on? It's Pastor Anthony on the Rebirth Experience. I pray that you're having a great day. That traffic is a little brutal out there, but I praise God that today's the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice. Come on, everybody in traffic, rejoice and be glad in it. I know that's kind of hard for you, but I really want you to take a moment just to rejoice, man. The Bible says like this, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So I'm sure if you've been having a day that has been excruciating, difficult, hard, almost impossible to make it, I want to encourage you today that when you reach deep down on the inside and you begin to say, God, do what you do best and begin to rejoice about what God has done. In fact, let's take a moment just to think about all the things that we should be rejoicing. Number one, thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for us. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Jesus, for waking me up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the job I have. Now, somebody out there might be saying, I don't have a job. But thank you, God, for my health. Thank you, God, for my family. Thank you for providing air in my lungs. Thank you for providing a meal in my stomach. Thank you, God, for not allowing me to choke out my peers on the job or my schoolmates. I mean, there's a lot of things just to be rejoiceful about, and I really want you to grab it in your spirit and your soul to say, man, I'm going to find not just one thing, but multiple things to be grateful for, because that's the God we serve. I mean, he's a great God, a living God, a wonderful God, and he is more than gracious to bless us, to help us, to strengthen us. And so today I got a word for you. And before I go into that, I want you to call 904-325-9647. Once again, that's 904-325-9647. At any given point in time in this show or after, you want prayer and you need it, we want to pray with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, man. Please, by all means, give us a call. We're here to pray for you. If you want to make a donation and be a donor, please, by all means, do that as well. I strongly encourage you to bless what blesses you. And this day, man, we're going to go right into the Word of God. I can't forget about my church. My goodness. I praise God for Rebirth Church. We're there at St. Augustine High School every Sunday, every Wednesday. Wednesday at 7 p.m., every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. And our church is really climbing the mountain. And God has given us the victory. And as we continue to climb heights that we've never seen before, God continues to bless us with each step of the way. And I want you to be a part of that community and that journey in which we're taking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen and amen to that? Praise God. All right, so check this out. I want to talk to you today about activating your faith. Come on, somebody. Activate your faith. So often we talk about faith because we understand faith for what it is, right? We look up the scriptures. And excuse me, today I'm using not a physical Bible, but I am using my laptop to kind of help me search for the scriptures. So just give me a brief moment if you hear me kind of delay a little bit in quoting those scriptures. But according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says like this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's say that one more time. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. I like that. I like the way the Amplified version brings it up. I'm particularly a fan of the Amplified version. And I pray if you listen to this, you can also search for it yourself. It's really powerful the way it comes out. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And just bear with me as I get the Amplified version in this moment. God is so good. Amen. Well, here it goes. And it says like this. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I love that, because in all reality, what God is speaking to us and saying to us in this moment is that anytime you are operating in faith, you have to turn off your senses. So often our senses, our five senses, right? Smell, sight, hearing, feeling, listening, those senses that we have, they give us comfort. They're the things that we're used to. We are products. We are creatures of our senses. We don't feel that great when we can't operate in one of them. I'm telling you, man, it's amazing lots of times when we see people accomplish great foes in this world, the great accomplishments in this world, when we see that they don't have all five senses working at full operation. I mean, it's amazing when you read the stories and the biography of Helen Keller, right? Where, you know, she did not have sight nor hearing. I mean, if you have to really take in this story and see the stuff that she accomplishes based on her disabilities, because she did not have all five senses in full effect. Yet we who have our senses in full effect, we depend on them 100%. It's almost hard to even fathom for a brief moment. How can we operate? How can we function without these five senses? However, I believe there's a sixth sense, right? Not the movie, not the one with Bruce Willis, not the one with the little kid saying, "I see dead people." No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the sixth sense, the one that switches off all five, and that is your faith. Notice how it says, according to Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says like this, and I'm reading the second portion of it, and it says, "Being the proof of things we do not see," so that immediately cuts off, bans, disarms that ability to see anything. So we know for a fact that we are not going to be able to activate that sense of sight. We're not. And it says, "And the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses." Therefore, you are going to come across in your journey in life where you are going to see facts. You are going to see something that makes sense, and it is going to contradict your faith, just alone your salvation. Let's be honest, for those of us that have not lived the goody-two-shoe life, right? For those of us that have not always dotted our I's and crossed our T's, for some of us that we've never cursed, we've never had bad breath, never had a bad hair day, Lord Jesus. For some of us that have always had it all together, then it's kind of hard for you to relate to this, what I'm about to say. But for some of us that we know we've screwed up, messed up, dropped the ball, threw in the white towel, don't deserve the grace or the mercy of our living God, and yet we were still able by faith to come to Jesus, to come to our Lord Jesus Christ, and be able to not achieve it, because to say achieve would be a cheap sell of what I'm trying to say. What I want to say is that we were able to acquire, not by our own strength, not by our own ability, not by our own wisdom, but we were able to do so by the grace of God and by the living God. And we know that all of by the mere fact that we are saved is a contradiction that God could ever possibly love us, but it's done by faith. It's done even if you know that Jesus loves you. Even if you know, it takes faith to operate just to gain your salvation. And so that's how we all come to Jesus. We heard a word, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "Faith come by hearing, and hearing the word of God." So there's no way you can possibly ever receive faith, receive the gospel, receive Christ as your Lord and Savior without first hearing a word. You have to hear a word, something to trigger you, something to get you going. You have to hear a word. And despite that, your senses say you deserve no mercy, no grace, no favor, deserve nothing whatsoever, that you're worthless. Our faith trumps that. Why? Because we understand that when we look through scripture, that we have not earned his grace. We have not worked for his grace, but by the living grace of God. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For it's by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. Do you hear that? Do you hear that? Through your faith. And so praise God. So I need faith to be saved. That's the number one thing. I need faith to be saved. I need a word in order to gain faith. And so faith come by hearing the word of God. So once I receive the word, Once I get the word deep down in my spirit, I am then elated because look at what the scripture says. It says that according to Romans chapter 12, verse 3, that it says that no one should think of themselves more highly, but to think of themselves soberly, for we have all been granted, given a measure, the measure of faith. So when you come to Jesus by faith, through your faith, by the grace of God, by getting saved, here you are. Now you have acquired that faith. Now you are walking in faith. Now the only reason you're doing that is because you heard a word that got you to the altar, that got you past the threshold, that turned you from a sinner into a saint. And then by giving your life to Christ, Christ then deposits, delivers, releases the measure of faith in your life so that you can be able to walk this walk. And so that when you understand that, then you can completely get the objective that, hey, I'm going to go through this journey that we call life, and I'm going to need faith to accomplish these things. Everywhere you see in scripture, it's a matter of faith that gets the job done. Think about it. Think about it very well, because everything that we will ever want, everything that we will ever need has already been accomplished on the cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was including your salvation. He was including the healing of for that sickness that's trying to attack your body. He was including that to be all prayers that all of your petitions and prayers that you have asked of the Lord. You have to think about this right now. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, you have to think about this right now, that everything that God will ever do has to be done in faith. But you got to turn off your senses. You got to shut them off. And that means there are moments in your walk with Christ that you are going to have something that is going to contradict. And if I go even further, there are going to be multiple variables that are going to contradict your faith. It's going to tell you this is not going to work. This is not going to pan out very well for you. You might as well give up now. You know, in fact, it was never meant. Listen well. It was never meant. I don't know if anybody ever had this happen to you. It was never meant for it to happen. God perhaps doesn't want you to have this, doesn't want you to be blessed. That's a lie of the devil. Why? Because what's happening is that we're creatures of our feeling, of our senses. We're so used to receiving affirmation from a natural basis that unless we receive it from a natural basis, we disregard our faith. The faith that we received when we first came to Christ, the faith that we receive when we heard the word, we disregard it because I didn't receive enough affirmation in my flesh, in my heart, to actually move forward. But ladies and gentlemen, the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years did not have any affirmation in the physical. For all we know, according to scripture, the Bible says that it was 12 years she had this and that she grew worse. And from what we know, according to scripture, we know that she only had one option left. And that was either I'm going to believe in God or I'm not. I'm going to reach out and touch the hem of his garment and be made whole, or I'm not. See, she had to turn off her senses. She had to realize that what is going to be my reality? And just like Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, and let it be the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to their senses. In other words, whenever you're believing God for something miraculous, something powerful, something earth-shaking, something that will rock you to the core and your family, it is going to go against your senses. But I have news for you. Just because it has not been revealed to your senses does not mean that God is not working it out for you. When that woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd and made it to Jesus and just grabbed the hold of the hem of his garment, there was nothing there to give her an assurance. There was nothing there to give her confirmation. There was nothing there to pat her in the back and say, "Don't worry about it, girl. It's going to be all right. This is what's really going to happen. No, she had nobody to support her, nobody to root her on, nobody to applaud her, nobody to be her cheerleader. She only had her faith. And I think that's where we go wrong so often. We're so used to somebody cheering us on, applauding us, giving us words of affirmation, giving us hugs, telling us it's going to be okay. But there comes a point in your walk that you got to put your head up, to put your shoulders back and say, come hell or high water, come whatever may come, I am going to believe in Jesus Christ. Job had a affirmation in his spirit. He had a resounding word inside of him. And he said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. Oh, I praise God. I feel good today. Praise the Lord. I feel a little preachy, and I'm not trying to get too preachy, but the reality is that though you may see it or not, though you may taste it, smell it, feel it, hear it or not, you've got to have a resounding confirmation on the inside, because that is what faith is. Look at what it says. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. In other words, that's all you got, baby. You don't got man's word to back you up. And let me tell you something. You can rely on man, but that will only take you so far. But when you rely on God, when you rely that it's only God that can bring you through, when you rely that it's only God that can save you, deliver you, preserve you, protect you, take care of you, when you rely on God at a face value, when you trust in him, that is the only title deed you need. That is the only assurance that you need. And it's that God is going to come through. God is going to bless me. God has already, in fact, let's put it in past tense. God has healed me already. And this is not just walking it out through our words. This is walking it out in our lives. In other words, saying every single day, I'm healed. I'm preserved. I'm saved. And I don't know what your petition may be in this hour, but you got to have it a resolute on the inside. There's got to be a resolution on the inside that says, you know what? I know things ain't matching up, and I know things ain't working out, and I know it's not helping me, everything that I'm going through. And I know there's a lot of variables in my life that are contradicting that God can even make this work. And I know it don't seem right, don't feel right, but I'm going to hold on to the word of God. I'm going to hold on to my faith. I'm going to hold on. And I want to point something out, because if you notice the life of Peter, according to scripture, the Bible says that Peter, when he was in the boat with the other disciples, the Bible says that Jesus came walking on the water. As he walked on the water, they freaked out like I bet any of us would. And when Jesus Christ reached out to them by his voice and said, do not be afraid, for it is I. Peter challenged them and said, if it is you, call me out. Bid me to come out forward to the waters. He said, come. And just on a word, one word, four-letter word, Peter placed his faith that it was Christ to bid him to walk on the water. And as he began to walk on the water, the Bible says like this. Now, wait for it. The Bible says as he walked on the water, he was good, which means that he had the faith for it. I mean, the mere fact that he stepped out on the boat was faith. Every step that he took on the water was faith. You know, I hear a lot of people bash the lack of faith that Peter had, but I think we need to highlight the faith that he had. Because I haven't walked on water. Have you? And that doesn't count the shower either. I'm talking about walking on water. He's in the ocean. He's walking on the water. He's here walking on something. He's defying gravity, and he's walking on water. And with every step that he takes and every step that he makes, it's faith. It's faith. And isn't it like that with us? Lots of times, here we are. We're believing in God. Believing in God. God, I'm believing in you for my finances. I'm believing in you for my household. I'm believing in you for my breakthrough. I'm believing in you for my marriage. I'm believing in you for my kids. I'm believing in you for a promotion. I'm believing in you for my household. I'm believing in you for a job. I'm believing in you for to make the bill, whatever it is. And I know I'm kind of extending, amplifying what we're believing in God, because I don't want to leave anybody out. I don't want somebody to say, oh, he didn't say this or not even relate to this, what I'm trying to say in this hour. We have moments that we burst into faith and we say, I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to stand strong. I'm not going to let anything throw me down. And then the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, and if I could bring that up, I want to bring it up. But the Bible says that the wind began to blow. Now listen well. The wind began to blow. And as the wind blew, he was caught off guard, because the wind, according to scripture, look what it says. And the wind, and he saw that the wind was boisterous. My God. In other words, it rattled them. It scared them. It shook them. And then the Bible says, and he began to sink. Now, I was telling this to one of our mentees in our church today, because if you look at the scripture, and I can't really take credit for noticing this. Brother Kevin Mitchell from our church, he took note of this, and he made such a great case. But I think it's important to understand that, as Kevin mentioned, he began to sink. A boat begins to sink.
This has been the Rebirth Experience with Pastor Anthony, pastor of Rebirth Church. Continue the experience Sunday mornings at 10:30 with Pastor Anthony, now meeting at St. Augustine High School at 3405 Varela Avenue. Call 904-325-9647, 325-9647 for more information. And visit rebirthchurch.tv, rebirthchurch.tv.